You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Do you have a little girl? Because I do. I've got a little girl and a little boy. Not so little anymore. And I gotta tell you, the time, the energy, the love, the worry, the money, the everything you pour into them to help them advance just one more step in life. I just want you to imagine this. I can hardly even say this with my daughter in my mind. You get your beautiful, wonderful girl through high school. She's fabulous. You get her to college. She's on the verge of graduating. So proud. She goes on a little girl's getaway, girl's weekend. Then you get a call that she's dead. Just let that soak in just for a moment. You get a call, your baby is dead. Because that is what happened to Miss Robinson, Miss Almondra Robinson. Her beautiful girl, the world in front of her, on the verge of graduating Winston-Salem State in business, goes away for a girl's getaway. And now she's dead. Not at the hands of some masked intruder. Not a drive-by shooting. On a girl's getaway with her friends. How can she be dead in the hotel room? I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us here at Fox Nation and SiriusXM 111 with me and all-star panel to make sense of what we know right now. But I want you to hear her mother, who is with us right now, as she was speaking to CBS.
I received a call on Saturday saying that my daughter was sick and that she had alcohol poisoning. But her doctor had never arrived, so I don't know where they had got the alcohol poison from. So at that time, they said a doctor was on the way to examine her. And she wasn't responding, as they told me. Said she was resting a little bit, but she wasn't all the way responding as normal. I told them to keep me informed, and I wanted to know why they couldn't take her to the emergency room. They said because they needed $5,000 cash to be seen in the emergency room. And I said, well, she has insurance. And they said they didn't take insurance by being out the country.
I mean, this girl actually worked in the insurance field. Everything that I just heard is a lie. Everything that this mother was told about the death of her baby girl is a lie. Assume nothing. When you go into an investigation, you believe nobody and no thing that you hear. How in the H-E-double-L is this girl resting as opposed to being taken down to the emergency room to H-E-double-L with the price? She is dead. She is dead and was never taken to the ER. And I don't buy for one minute that this girl, this beautiful young 25-year-old girl, was resting. That's total BS. Now, listen to this.
I told them just keep me informed, and they did call back, but they still saying it was alcohol poisoning. So, later on that evening, they called and said that Shankula had passed. And at that point, you know, it just took my heart, crumbled up, you know, just knowing my child was gone and I couldn't get there to her, could not do anything. And they said the medics came, three medics came, and no one could do anything, couldn't save her.
I'm so mad right now, I could chew a nail in half. Joining me, an all-star panel to make sense of the facts as we know them right now, keeping in mind that everything we're learning right now is a lie. I want to go to her mother. I want to go to Shanquella's mother. With me, Mrs. Salamandra Robinson. Miss Robinson, I cannot tell you how sorry I am for what you and your family are going through. When I leave the children at school in the morning and I see that phone ring, I'm already in the car on the way because I know something's wrong. And I cannot imagine how you felt when you get a call that something is wrong with your girl and she's resting and she can't come to the phone to talk to you. Oh, hell no. Uh-uh. What happened? Just take it from the top, if you don't mind, Miss Robinson.
Well, like I said, they was saying that she was resting and she wasn't really responding. That's why they called the ambulance. And when the ambulance got there, they said the ambulance was working on her. And as I got from reports saying that the ambulance was working on her for 2 to 3 hours, but no one ever decided to take her to the hospital.
Mm-mm. Now, here's another thing. How can you be resting and unresponsive? Like when they try to, did they try to get her to talk to you on the phone? Well, start at the beginning. When you get the call, where are you?
When I get the call, I was out eating.
Okay. So in you were in North Carolina?
Yes.
So North Carolina time, it was what, 7 o'clock at night?
It would have been about 6 or 7.
Okay. So she is in San Jose del Cabo, Mexico. So that I think would have been 3 hours behind. Like they're on California time, correct?
Yes.
So 4 p.m. their time, 7 p.m. ish your time. You get a call. And who called you?
Saleha Cook.
Who's that?
That's supposed to have been her best friend.
Did you say Saleha Cook?
No, Kalia Cook.
Oh, the man.
Yes.
And he was a friend of hers. He had gone on family vacations. You knew him, right?
Yes.
Okay. Were they romantically involved?
No.
Okay. Just a friend. Look, it happens. A lot of people can't believe that happened. Can happen. I've had a best friend since law school, a best friend man, study partners the whole way through. So it does happen. So Kalia Cook is her friend. And he calls you, correct?
Yes.
And he says what to you?
That Shanquella wasn't feeling good. He thinks she had drunk too much. She had alcohol poison. And I say, what is alcohol poison? Because I didn't even know what alcohol poison was.
Okay. With me, someone that can answer that question very well, Dr. Kendall Crowns, Chief Medical Examiner, Fort Worth, lecturer at University of Texas and Texas A&M, faculty, University of Texas Medical Branch. Dr. Crowns, what is alcohol poisoning?
Alcohol poisoning is when you get so much alcohol in your system that it actually is fatal to your body. Alcohol can be toxic to your heart and also your liver. So when you have a really, really high level of alcohol, it can cause basically poisoning of these organ systems. So it's usually seen in someone who's been binge drinking. And, you know, the standard alcohol level is legal limit is about 0.08 in most jurisdictions. And once you get into a 0.3, 0.4 area, most people will have so much alcohol on board that it will kill them. And that is a lot of alcohol.
Okay, so, hold on. I'm trying to reconcile what you're saying with what Miss Robinson was told. Take a listen to our friend Victor Canato.
On October 29th, one of the guests staying at the resort called for help around 2 p.m. Upon arriving, medical professionals were informed that Robinson had drunk a lot of alcohol. A doctor reportedly said she was stable but dehydrated, suggesting she may be treated at a hospital. The guests insisting she remain at the villa. A police report stating Robinson went into cardiac arrest and was declared deceased around 6 p.m.
There you go. That's why she didn't go to the hospital. Did you hear that? The guests, her girlfriends, insisted she stay there at the hotel. That's why she wasn't taken to the hospital. Now, wait a minute. She went into cardiac arrest, according to what we just heard. But None of this is fitting together. Take a listen to our friends at ABC.
But those reports differing from an autopsy obtained by ABC News stating that medical professionals arrived at the villa around 3 p.m. and declared her dead within 15 minutes, citing that Robinson died from a severe spinal cord injury and a dislocated neck.
But this to happen to her is just terrible, you know. I just couldn't believe it. It's like I'm still asleep, like a nightmare.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
The reports from the friend girls are completely different from the autopsy. Did you hear that? To you, Mrs. Robinson, according to the documents from the EMTs, she was declared dead 15 minutes after they got there. They did not get there and work on her for 3 hours like you were told.
Yes.
She was declared dead within 15 minutes of the EMTs getting there, and the friends did not want her removed to the hospital. Do you understand that to be true now?
I understand that, you know, what is being said. You know, I don't know which way to believe. You know, I believe the autopsy, but the so-called friends, I just don't know what to say about them. I just think it was just terrible the way they done her, you know.
All of this from alcohol poisoning, but yet the autopsy does not say anything about alcohol poisoning leading to her death. It says, Dr. Kendall Crowns, she died of a spinal cord injury. What's that?
Spinal cord injury is basically your cervical spine is you get injuries to your cervical spine from severe rotation or blunt trauma that results in your head being moved suddenly to one side or another, and that causes fracturing of the cervical bones that then result in damage to the spinal cord that ultimately results in your death, or potentially quadriplegia, meaning you can't move anything below the neck down.
Doctor, I was having a hard time taking in what you were saying. I got it, because I'm seeing out of the corner of my eye a video that has emerged. And it is a video of this beautiful young girl, Shanquella Robinson, just 25. She's naked. She's by her bed. It looks like she's just gotten up out of bed. And a woman is beating her dead. I'm looking at it right now. Now, I don't know all the circumstances, but I know another person, and I just saw a female hand come up in front of the video cam. There's somebody recording this brutal attack, and they beat her until she's down, and she's just sitting there, like, completely out of it from the beating, like a rag doll. And then once she sits down, this attacker then beats her in the head, and her head is just catapulted over to one side. Could that be what happened to Shanquella, Dr. Crowns?
Yes. So in the video, you can see there's the initial where the one female is hitting Shanquella multiple times in her head. But at some point, she grabs her with her arm and then twists her head and body in a kind of a rotational motion. And then Shanquella is dropped to the ground, and she continues to hit her in the head and neck area. But if you, in the video, you notice that Shanquella is fighting back initially until
I disagree completely. She's shielding herself. She is not landing punches at all. I'm looking right at it.
She also said no.
Yes, you're right.
Correct.
She never even had a chance to fight back.
Misstatement there. She is not fighting back. She is defending herself from the beating.
Like trying to hold her attacker back. She never gets a chance to defend herself. Mrs. Robinson, does she sleep without her clothes on?
Yes, she do.
So she was woken up out of her bed with one woman standing there videoing and the other woman hitting her like she's Muhammad Ali. And then the attacker, after she has beaten her, this defenseless naked girl who has just been woken up to a beating, she stands back. She steps back and bows back like she's about to put her hands over her head, like she's a champion. What is that, Dr. Bethany Marshall, psychoanalyst out of Beverly Hills? What is that behavior? She's crowing and preening for the video.
Nancy, this was, it would be a mistake to think this is just one woman killing this poor 25-year-old.
Who should I believe? You or my lying eyes? I'm looking right at it.
No, but I mean, when I say a mob attack, maybe there was one attacker, but this was group aggression towards Shanquilla. Group aggression, because people are standing by, one person's videotaping, you can hear a voice of someone saying, oh, fight back, Quilla, as if this was, like you said, Muhammad Ali. They're really minimizing the fact that this poor girl is being killed. I mean, this is a homicide, obviously, but what was this group aggression towards her that we're witnessing? Were they envious of her? Did she have a better life than them? I mean, this is how I think as a psychoanalyst is beyond the brutality of this murder.
And who in the hay is videoing her? Miss Robinson, do you know these women? Who are they?
I don't know the ones that's videoing her. I just know the one that was standing there beside Kalia Cook. And the other one, I didn't know him, the one that's saying fight back. I didn't know him.
Okay, hold on. Who is the person hitting her?
That's the Deja girl. And I didn't know her. I just know they went to college together.
I've got Dejani Jackson. How are you saying it?
I think it's I don't know how to pronounce her name.
I've got Dejani. That could be, it's a crazy spelling. I don't know what it is. It looks like Dejani or Dejanay.
Her name is Dejanay. Yeah,
that's Dejanay. It's Dejanay because it's got A-E on mm-hmm. the end. You're right. Dejanay Jackson. Then you've mm-hmm. got Winter Donovan, and it's spelled W-E-N-T-E-R. Is that another female?
Yes.
Then you've got Kalia Cook, the friend boy, the man.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's those three and your daughter, Quella, correct?
Yes.
Guys, this is taking place at a very upscale resort in Mexico. It's, and you can look out the window of their, Quella's suite. It's beautiful. You look right out on the beach and the ocean, palm trees, sand. I mean, this is about less than 30 minutes from where you see Jennifer Aniston and all of her celebrity friends lounging and having a great time at Cabo San Lucas. That's where we're talking about. This is San Jose del Cabo. To you, Alexis Tereshchuk, joining me, investigative reporter with Crime Online. Alexis, thank you for being with us. Where is this place?
This place is still on the coast at the very bottom of the peninsula. It is about 30 minutes northeast of Cabo San Lucas, but it is still right on the beach. And this place where they were staying was a private beach club. They had access to a private beach, very exclusive, behind a gate. You had to have security to get in. This is not a shack on the beach at all. It is a very, very fancy place that they were all staying.
I mean, it looks really nice from what I'm seeing. And that just goes to show Robert Crispin. Robert joining me, private investigator, former federal task force officer with the U.S. Department of Justice, DEA, now private investigator at CrispinInvestigations.com. Robert, this goes to show you can be living in or staying in a five-star resort and crime will find you. And it's very often those that know you the best.
Well, the sad part about it is everyone gives the warnings about going to Mexico. And something's going to happen to our kids when they go down there. But how do you fight against the people that you went there with when they're inside your room?
I want Gary Davidson to jump in. He is a partner with Diaz Royce International Law Firm at DiazReus.com. This happens in Mexico at this luxurious resort. Gary Davidson, I want you to hear our friend Erica Jackson at WSOC.
They all came to my house on Tuesday and explained what had happened.
Salamandra says Shanquilla's friends blamed her death on alcohol. Then the Robinson family received a copy of her death certificate. It shows she died 15 minutes after injuring her neck and spinal cord. The report also states Shanquilla was found unconscious in the living room, and her death is believed to be violent or accidental.
Violent or accidental? And then this video emerges. How can anybody say this is accidental? I mean, to you, Dr. Kendall Crowns, Chief Medical Examiner, Tarrant County, this is no accident. You see the beating. Now we know that she was dead 15 minutes after injuring her neck and spinal cord. Why? Why are you dead 15 minutes after the injury?
So usually with these type of spinal cord injuries, with what she has is an atlas luxation, which means a dislocation of the first cervical vertebrae.
Do you mind saying that one more time? An atlas what?
It's an atlas luxation is what the cause of death is listed as. And what that is cervical vertebrae number one, the one right underneath your skull is the atlas. And it slid out of place and then pushed on her spinal cord. And then usually what happens is it bruises the spinal cord, but the spinal cord bruises take a little time to set in before they will kill you. So that's why you can see a survival time period of about 15 minutes. But in the video, after she is whipped about her head and dropped to the ground, to me, it doesn't look like she has any more purposeful movement, even though the other individual continues to pound on her. It's that movement there is what killed her.
I need you to speak so we can all understand you, Dr. Kendall Crowns, not in your elocution, but describing this. So you're saying atlas luxation is cause of death, but you're referring to one particular spot just under the head. When that particular spot is dislocated or taken, kicked out of the line of the spine, I'm extrapolating. Are you saying the head is then no longer attached? The brain is no longer attached to, for instance, the heart and the other parts of your body that keep you alive?
Right. That's the area of the brainstem is where the cervical vertebrae number one or the atlas is sitting. And that is causing damage to the brainstem, which controls your heart rate, your respiratory rate, all the functions of your body. So it isn't necessarily completely separated, but it's bruised and damaged to the point that the individual dies. And that's why she has a survival time period, because it's damaged, not completely torn.
Well, of course, Gary Davidson is a high profile lawyer that specializes in international law. Gary, the family knew in the first instant alcohol poisoning. Gary Davidson, take a listen to our friend Joe Bruno.
Shanquilla Robinson's friends told her parents that she died from alcohol poisoning. That theory never sat right with her father, and he just, quite frankly, didn't buy it.
I knew it wasn't no alcohol poisoning. I knew it wasn't.
Shanquilla's death certificate never mentions alcohol poisoning. It lists the cause of death as severe spinal cord injury and atlas luxation. It says she died within 15 minutes of injury. In the box asking if the death was accidental or violent, the medical examiner wrote yes.
So, Gary Davidson, one quick round to Dr. Kendall Crowns. Dr. Kendall Crowns, I would like a yes-no answer to these. The autopsy said, did it not, that this atlas luxation was the cause of death, the COD? Yes, no?
Yes.
Isn't it true that in autopsies that tissue samples are taken and blood alcohol and toxicology panels are run? Isn't that true?
Yes.
And isn't it also true, Dr. Kendall Crowns, that those samples would have shown if Quilla died of alcohol poisoning and also the toxicity in her body, her blood alcohol, correct?
Correct.
But it didn't mention that, did it, Dr. Crowns?
Not that I've seen.
It did not. So, Gary Davidson, that leads me to this. Not only do they beat the woman stand by and video this girl getting killed. They then lie about her cause of death to her mother. They lied about it. Now, is lying a felony? No, it is not. But doesn't it suggest to you, Gary, that they lied for a nefarious reason, and that reason being to cover up their involvement in her death?
Yes, absolutely. It very much appears that the story is being told to the family from the very get-go were not true. And it does raise the question of whether this was a pre-planned attack, whether it was organized not only by the person who committed it physically, but those around the room. And, you know, it's a sad day for the family, but it's also going to be a very, very sad day for these people, because they are going to be implicated. They are going to, at a minimum, be witnesses in a potential criminal trial.
You got that right, Davidson. They're not just witnesses. And what you said really hits the nail on the head, Gary Davidson. Now I know why you're a high-profile lawyer specializing in international law. This was pre-planned.
Nancy, could I speak to that? Because I agree.
I mean, the woman is asleep in bed, and they come in with a video camera with Muhammad Ali over there in the corner ready to fight. They have this thing planned. They don't have to come over from North Carolina to San Jose del Cabo. If they planned it in the living room and went in there, this is a premeditated attack, just the way Gary Davidson is describing it.
I agree it's premeditated. And Nancy, what's going to be interesting is to look at their texts that they sent each other, emails, other forms of electronic communication as they were planning this trip, mm-hmm. as they were on the plane, as they were arriving at this resort. You know, you can premeditate something at an unconscious as well as a conscious level.
Okay, Dr. Bethany, you know I admire you greatly, but I'm talking about evidence that can come into court. What they were thinking about in the bathroom on the plane does not matter to me. What matters to me is what I can prove. But you're exactly mm-hmm. right. I would look at every single text, email, communication between these people to find out if they wanted to gang up on her from the get-go when they all left to go to Mexico. And that's where you come in, Robert Crispin, about how we're going to get a hold.
Oh, and Nancy, the video?
Yes?
The video is another form of aggression. It didn't start just before the trip or on the plane or in their electronic communications. Someone videotaped that and then put it on the internet. You know why they put it on the internet? They wanted to further humiliate Quilla.
Showing her without her clothes on being attacked. I want you to hear in our Cut 10, our friends at WSOC, our Cut 10, please, Jackie.
Salamandra says she came across this video. Salamandra identified the people in the video as Shanquilla and her Cabo travel partners. You can hear someone in the video ask if Quella could at least fight back.
There wasn't no fight. They attacked her. It was never a fight. She didn't fight. They attacked her.
Now, Salamandra says she has more questions than answers. She wants justice for her daughter.
She was a good child and had a great heart. And she did not deserve to be treated like that.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Ms. Robinson, I keep looking at this video and imagining my little girl being attacked and beaten dead like that. Where did you find this video, Ms. Robinson?
Online. Someone sent the video to us online.
Someone sent it to you?
Yes. I believe the video was out before Shanquilla actually had died, because someone called me and told me before they even arrived back to Charlotte from North Carolina that they was over there fighting her. So I didn't know how true it was. So after they got back, Shanquilla had passed, the video had surfaced on Facebook, and someone sent it to my family. Started coming out. The video started coming out.
That is a really big deal. Alexis Tereshchuk joining me, CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter. Alexis, is that correct? And I'm going to follow up with you, Crispin, about how I can prove it's correct. I can't just blurt it out it's correct without knowing. Alexis, is it possible these girlfriends post the video of Quella completely naked being beaten to her death in the bedroom before she's even pronounced dead?
Yes, and that's what the timestamps and the information that has shown up on different websites and where the video has been seen shows that it was almost like it was not a live broadcast, but really in real time happening. It didn't show up weeks later. It showed up almost immediately.
How can I prove that, Robert Crispin?
So this is one of the reasons that the FBI is involved now, because they have a unit called the Extraterritorial Unit for Crimes. When you get a request from foreign governments to help them investigate cases,
yes,
for crimes against U.S. citizens, which I'm sure you're very well aware of that. How we're going to prove this? Social media, it's all digital. And through subpoenas, we're going to get IP addresses. We're going to get who owns the phone that sent that. We're going to get the accounts. We're going to get everything. And it's just going to slowly start to unwind on, one, who owned the phone that shot that video, who posted that. And this case with that video is just probably the most key piece of evidence that any investigator wishes they had on so many other crimes. It's people just don't think. And social media has cleared so many crimes because people don't think and they want to brag about
these
fights.
Can you believe that they were putting this up online? Gary Davidson, high-profile lawyer, joining us from his law firm, partner with Diaz Royce International Law. I'm going to get to you in just a second about extradition, but I want to talk to you about the phenomena of posting your crime online. What kind of a sick killer would do that? They're proud of it. They're posting it.
It's a badge of honor.
Well, they can tell that to Satan, because I'm pretty sure that's where they're headed. Guys, not only that, the lying. Gary Davidson, haven't you seen in trial? You've got the crime, but then you have the cover-up. And the cover-up can prove the crime. And the cover-up will infuriate a jury. Agree or disagree?
Agreed. And I also think it's likely in a case such as this, where you have so many people who are present, that at least one of them is going to come forward under direct questioning from investigators and, gain immunity from prosecution and testify as to what truly did happen. The real mystery, I think, in all of this at the moment is, what was the motivation for this attack?
Now, you know the state does not have to prove motive. Right?
True.
It's a bunch of mean girls turned 25 going on some kind of a vendetta.
Yes,
I'll tell you what, it'll be a cold day in hell before I go on a girls' weekend. Go ahead, Gary.
But at the end of the day, I do believe the truth is going to come out in this case well before there's ever a trial. And there may very well be a trial of all of the people who were present.
Oh, no, they all need to go to trial. I don't need them as witnesses when I've got this video. And don't you know, Gary Davidson, if they're stupid enough to post the video, then they have been exchanging emails and texts and snaps all this time. I cannot wait to get my hands on all their communications post-murder. Miss Robinson with me is Quella's mom, Salamandra Robinson, who is summoning up the strength to talk about this. She is deep, deep in mourning. And when we first started talking off camera, she said it made her sick to her stomach. And when I look at this video, I thought I was going to get sick to my stomach just watching it, much less it being her little girl. I understand that you Zoomed with her on Friday, the day before she was killed, and she was upbeat, was having a good time the day before, right? Did she discuss any tensions with the other women?
No, I talked with Shanquella and I watched her Instagram. She spoke and she seemed to be very happy, sound like Shanquella normally sounds. And, like I said, I told her, enjoy yourself. She said she was getting ready to eat. The chef was cooking some tacos. I said, well, enjoy yourself. I will talk to you tomorrow and love you. And I never spoke with her again.
And what about the people standing by and watching? Take a listen to our Cut 11. This is our friend Matt Rivers at GMA.
We got our first dead body.
A new video surfacing showing Shanquilla resting in a hammock at some point before the trip turned deadly.
Buddy.
I heard some stuff, you know, a dead body. And, you know, that just make me wonder, you know, that was their plan all the time.
This on the heels of the now viral video, too violent to show, of a female roommate appearing to assault Shanquilla.
They just stood there and watched and didn't even try to stop it or break it up. She wasn't even fighting back. They attacked her.
And what about these so-called friends, since they've all come home from Mexico? Take a listen to Our Cut 17, Anne-Marie Green, Dana Jacobson, CBS.
Shanquilla was sweet, very kind. She had a heart of gold. She loved everybody. She didn't mistreat nobody. Never. No one could possibly ever say anything bad about her because she was a good person.
Was she close friends with the people that she went on this trip with?
Well, all I know that she went to college with them. That one of the guys supposed to have been her best friend. And he had went on family trips with us, you know, and he'd been to the family house. We've all been on trips together, you know, just good time. And I never thought that he could be that low to do my child like that.
Have you heard from him since all of this happened?
Yeah, he came to the house 4 days in a row until he found out we knew what the autopsy said.
And you haven't seen him since?
Haven't seen him since.
So let me understand this, Mrs. Robinson. The friend, Kalia Cook, comes to your house several times after they get home from their vacation. But as soon as the true cause of death comes out, this dislocation, the atlas luxation of the spinal cord, then he suddenly quits showing up. And I bet you haven't heard from any of them ever since you learned the true cause of death, right?
Yeah, it's true.
Because you know they're all lying.
Yes.
And they know that you know. What I don't understand is why the case is not moving forward. What's going on with the Mexican authorities? Take a listen to Our Cut 14, our friends at WSOC.
Investigators in Mexico now say they believe that Robinson was killed. It's significant because her parents said that they were originally told that she died of alcohol poisoning.
So if they know she was killed, she was murdered, what's the holdup, Gary Davidson?
The holdup is extradition. Extradition is a process where individuals are summoned through official channels between governments to return to the place where they are alleged to have committed a crime. And in this case, the Mexican government is seeking extradition of the individual who is accused of actually undertaking the attack on the victim, so there's a process, a court process that has to be followed by the United States government, and ultimately there is a treaty between the United States and Mexico.
Gary, I've done extraditions. It's really easy. It's not a long process. We in the U.S. have to arrest these POCs, these so-called friends on a girl's getaway. We got to arrest them. We take them to court. And there's just a couple of questions. You get their fingerprint and you say, are you Gary Davidson? And if the person says yes, it's all over because you have a signed governor's warrant from Mexico. And all you need to do, you don't have to establish guilt or innocence. All they have to do is establish, are you Gary Davidson? And if you tell me no under oath, I compare your fingerprints, I see that it's you, and bye-bye. You got a chain on your hands, and you're on the way to Mexico. That's all there is. It's not a fact-finding investigation in court. It's very simply, are you Gary Davidson? That's all I want to know. That's all an extradition is. Then you send the person to the venue, the jurisdiction, to be tried. Isn't that right?
In most instances, that is correct. Of course, we're assuming that the U.S. government has been able to locate the individual that they're seeking, which is, you know, not something you can always assume.
Gary, they're all over Facebook. How hard can it be?
One would think by now it would have been accomplished, but I'm not behind the scenes, so I can't answer beyond that.
Ms. Robinson, he's right. Gary Davison is correct. Ms. Robinson, what are they telling you?
Well, they're not telling me anything. They're not even telling me who the name is on the arrest warrant that they have. But we know there's a warrant out there, and we're hoping that they relocate them real soon. We haven't heard any more.
Do you know where these girls are?
No. I have no idea.
Well, they went to college with her. They could afford a Mexican vacation. They had to have a passport. We've got to know where they live.
They stopped the passport. They know where each one of them live. All of them is somewhere hiding. None of them is at the address that's on their passport. None of them there.
I'll tell you what. I can't wait for a jury to hear about how they hid under the bed at mommy's house while cops are trying to find them more evidence of guilt. Tip line, 888-407-4747. Repeat, 888-407-4747. At this point, Gary Davison, wouldn't you say it's on the U.S. Marshal in the jurisdiction of North Carolina to find them?
Yes, indeed. And they have resources, obviously, to bring to bear with the FBI if, in fact, these people have, these individuals have fled from North Carolina. They will be caught. They don't sound like the type of people who have unlimited funds.
They're not criminal masterminds either, Gary. They're the ones that posted the video. So, okay, you heard Gary Davison. U.S. Marshals, it's time for you to do what you do best and bring these people to extradition to Mexico, where they can rot in a Mexican jail cell. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.